no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 15th day of September. I almost said Daniel. Daniel's not a month, Jill. It's so good to be here with you. We're going to jump in. We began the book of Daniel yesterday, finished two minor prophet books over the weekend, and let's jump in. There's a lot happening in the book of Daniel. Today we are reading Daniel chapters 4 through 6, and this week we are reading the Christian Standard Bible. Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth, may your prosperity increase. I am pleased to tell you about the miracles and wonders the Most High God has done for me. How great are his miracles, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I had a dream, and it frightened me while in my bed. The images and visions in my mind alarmed me. So I issued a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon to me in order that they might make the dream's interpretation known to me. When the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners came in, I told them the dream, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. Finally, Daniel, named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and a spirit of the holy gods is in him, came before me. I told him the dream. Belteshazzar, head of the magicians, because I know that you have the spirit of the holy gods and that no mystery puzzles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I saw and its interpretation. In the visions of my mind, I was lying in bed. I saw this. There was a tree in the middle of the earth, and it was very tall. The tree grew large and strong. Its top reached to the sky, and it was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit was abundant, and on it was food for all. Wild animals found shelter under it. The birds of the sky lived in its branches, and every creature was fed from it. As I was lying in my bed, I also saw in the visions of my mind a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He called out loudly, "Cut down the tree and chop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump with its roots in the ground and with a band of iron and bronze around it, in the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share the plants of the earth with the animals. Let his mind be changed from that of a human, and let him be given the mind of an animal for 7 periods of time. This word is by decree of the watchers, and the decision is by command from the holy ones. This is so that the living will know that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms. He gives them to anyone he wants and sets the lowliest of people over them. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because none of the wise men of my kingdom can make the interpretation known to me. But you can, because you have a spirit of the holy gods." Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was stunned for a moment, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king said, "Belteshazzar, don't let the dream or its interpretation alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, may the dream apply to those who hate you and its interpretation to your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong, whose top reached to the sky and was visible to the whole earth, and whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it the wild animals lived, and in its branches the birds of the sky lived. That tree is you, your majesty, for you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown and even reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to the ends of the earth. The king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, "Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump with its roots in the ground and with a band of iron and bronze around it in the tender grass of the field. Let him be drenched with dew from the sky and share food with the wild animals for 7 periods of time." This is the interpretation, your majesty, and this is the decree of the Most High that has been issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people to live with the wild animals. You will feed on grass like cattle and be drenched with dew from the sky for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms and he gives them to anyone he wants. As for the command to leave the tree's stump with its roots, your kingdom will be restored to you as soon as you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, may my advice seem good to you, my king. Separate yourselves from your sins by doing what is right, and from your injustices by showing mercy to the needy. Perhaps there will be an extension of your prosperity. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, as he was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, the king exclaimed, "Is this not Babylon the Great that I have built to be a royal residence by my vast power and for my majestic glory?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared that the kingdom has departed from you. You will be driven away from the people to live with the wild animals, and you will feed on grass like cattle for 7 periods of time until you acknowledge that the Most High is ruler over human kingdoms, and he gives them to anyone he wants." At that moment, the message against Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people. He ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky, until his hair grew like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of those days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned to me. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does what he wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can block his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At that time, my sanity returned to me, and my majesty and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and my nobles sought me out. I was reestablished over my kingdom, and even more greatness came to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and glorify the King of the heavens, because all his works are true and his ways are just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. King Belshazzar held a great feast for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine in their presence. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar gave orders to bring in the gold and silver vessels that his predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, wives, and concubines could drink from them. So they brought in the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple, the house of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, wives, and concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised their gods made of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. At that moment, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the king's palace wall next to the lampstand. As the king watched the hand that was writing, his face turned pale, and his thoughts so terrified him that he soiled himself and his knees knocked together. The king shouted to bring in the mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners. He said to these wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this inscription and gives me its interpretation will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain around his neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom." So all the king's wise men came in, but none could read the inscription or make its interpretation known to him. Then King Belshazzar became even more terrified. His face turned pale, and his nobles were bewildered. Because of the outcry of the king and his nobles, the queen came to the banquet hall. "May the king live forever," she said. "Don't let your thoughts terrify you or your face be pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has a spirit of the holy gods in him. In the days of your predecessor, he was found to have insight, intelligence, and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods. Your predecessor, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, mediums, Chaldeans, and diviners. Your own predecessor, the king, did this because Daniel, the one the king named Belteshazzar, was found to have an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and intelligence, and the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems. Therefore, summon Daniel, and he will give the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought before the king. The king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the Judean exiles that my predecessor the king brought from Judah? I've heard that you have a spirit of the gods in you, and that insight, intelligence, and extraordinary wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men and mediums were brought before me to read this inscription and make its interpretation known to me, but they could not give its interpretation. However, I have heard about you that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Therefore, if you can read this inscription and give me its interpretation, you will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain around your neck, and have the third highest position in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts and give your rewards to someone else. However, I will read the inscription for the king and make the interpretation known to him. Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave sovereignty, greatness, glory, and majesty to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. Because of the greatness he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages were terrified and fearful of him. He killed anyone he wanted and kept alive anyone he wanted. He exalted anyone he wanted and humbled anyone he wanted. But when his heart was exalted and his spirit became arrogant, he was deposed from his royal throne and his glory was taken from him. He was driven away from people. His mind was like an animal's. He lived with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with dew from the sky until he acknowledged that the Most High God is ruler over human kingdoms and sets anyone he wants over them. But you, his successor, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Instead, you have exalted yourself against the Lord of the heavens. The vessels from his house were brought to you, and as you and your nobles, wives, and concubines drank wine from them, you praised the gods made of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or understand. But you have not glorified the God who holds your life breath in his hand and who controls the whole course of your life. Therefore, he sent the hand, and this writing was inscribed." This is the writing that was inscribed: "Mene, Mene, Tekel, in Persian. This is the interpretation of the message. Mene means that God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel means that you have been weighed on the balance and found deficient. Peres means that your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave an order, and they clothed Daniel in purple, placed a gold chain around his neck, and issued a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom, but they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps went together to the king and said to him, "May King Darius live forever." All the administrators of the kingdom, the prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors, have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed." So King Darius signed the written edict. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upstairs room opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, and gave thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel petitioning and imploring his God. So they approached the king and asked about his edict. "Didn't you sign an edict that for 30 days any person who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "As a law of the Medes and Persians, the order stands and is irrevocable." Then they replied to the king, "Daniel, one of the Judean exiles, has ignored you, the king, and the edict you signed, for he prays three times a day." As soon as the king heard this, he was very displeased. He set his mind on rescuing Daniel and made every effort until sundown to deliver him. Then these men went together to the king and said to him, "You know, your majesty, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no edict or ordinance the king establishes can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you continually serve, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles so that nothing in regard to Daniel could be changed. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the lion's den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lion's den?" And Daniel spoke with the king. "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they haven't harmed me, for I was found innocent before him, and also before you, your majesty. I have not done harm." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to take Daniel out of the den. When Daniel was brought up from the den, he was found to be unharmed, for he trusted in his God. The king then gave the command, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den, they, their children, and their wives. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to those of every people, nation, and language who live on the whole earth, "May your prosperity abound. I issue a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his dominion has no end. He rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, for he has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay, yesterday we began the book of Daniel. Today we continued the book of Daniel. I'm going to just pull from the God of your story and just orient ourselves, because there's a lot of different things happening and we need to understand the context of these things so that we don't blur the events of what happened with Daniel with the dreams and the visions and call them literal. Let's dive in. Pulling from the God of your story, we began the book of Daniel, one of the most interesting books in the Old Testament. Daniel is prized for its historical account as well as its sweeping prophetic visions. In fact, Daniel's visions have been consulted over millennia in eschatological studies. Daniel was a contemporary of Ezekiel. He was taken into exile when Jerusalem fell to Babylon in 597 BC. We know that times were remarkably difficult for those who were deported. We've looked at their stories in the Bible. Through the struggle, Daniel was favored by God. He was a gifted young man who rose to become an influential advisor and authority in the Babylonian kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and beyond. Although Daniel was an exile, a Hebrew, and a prophet, he was not a prophet for or against Israel. The visions of Daniel were not particularly Jewish, which gives him a unique voice. I'm going to paraphrase here just a bit. In the first half of our time in this book, we'll read the story of Daniel's life. In the process, we'll encounter some of the richest stories in the Bible. For example, we'll read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace. We'll also read the account of Daniel being thrown into a lion's den. As we move into the back half of the book, the focus will shift to Daniel's prophetic visions of four world empires. The imagery is highly symbolic and almost cinematic in nature. It is this portion that has been and continues to be scrutinized by eschatological scholars. If eschatology, or the study of the end times, is something that interests you or that you are a student of, then the book of Daniel will invariably be one of the centerpieces of that study. But whether or not the end times is your passion, Daniel's portrayal of God's sovereignty over all kingdoms of the world is a powerful reminder. My husband is so smart. Let me just end here with this, by saying this. I believe this is a really important detail to the stories that we read. We can read the stories of Daniel as we did yesterday and today, and we hear the courage and the bravery of the stand that Daniel took, and we can place ourselves in that position in anything that we want to stand against. But let's zoom the lens in a little bit more closely. Daniel's courage, his bravery, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was their faith and trust in God. By knowing the voice of God and not compromising that trust in God. Now, let's be really honest here. Not all of us are going to have our faith tested by being thrown into a fire. But we can face fire. We can face fire from people that love us or claim that they love us, people that we love, when we bypass their opinion, when they are calling evil good and good evil because of something they've heard or something that was passed down to them or something that they even believe is the truth, this is why we have to know the voice of God. But this doesn't mean that we use these stories to stand against anything that we don't want to do. When we do that, we are in as much rebellion as the children of Israel. Knowing what God requires of us, knowing what God asks of us, knowing through His Word what God calls evil and what God calls good, and not being confused and not being swayed by popular opinion. So we have to understand that the courage, the bravery that we see and witness in the story is not just this superhero courage and bravery. It is trust and faith and belief in God and not compromising. But it's not because they just didn't feel like doing it. They just weren't going to be told what to do. It was because they knew who God was. They knew what God said, and they were not willing to compromise their God for someone else's. That's the important piece we have to remember in these stories and hold on to. We're going to go through the fire. It might not be a literal fire. And we're seeing this in our world. We're seeing this played out. We're seeing hatred played out, executed, and people standing by and doing nothing. We see hatred acted upon every day, and our hearts can hardly handle the weight. And sometimes it's a fire of a different kind. It's a burning away of relationship. It's a burning away of character assassination. It's gossip and slander. I know that our actions matter, but our words matter. We have the power of life and death. And our trust and our faith and our belief in God has to go beyond this courage to stand up. And it needs to go into the courage of every day making choices and choose not to burn one another down, figuratively and literally. Jesus, we need your help. We need to trust you. We say we do, but sometimes we don't have the first clue on how to actually do that. God, would you show us what it means to trust you? And may we walk that out. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Take a look around, download it, send it to a friend. Go through the Bible together with someone you love, someone you don't know. Get to know them through the Bible, through God's Word, and get to know God through His Word with a friend. If you'd like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. If you're giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the app. Hit the Give icon up at the top right-hand corner, and lastly, look for the Give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, there are several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164 or again, utilizing the mobile app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. You have 2 minutes on the prayer line. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel over to chronological to ensure it getting to the right place. That's it for me today. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and continue in the book of Daniel together. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good evening, DABC. This is Under Construction. It's been a while, but I just have to tell you guys how funny God is. So, I don't know if you guys remember, but a little over a year ago, I was praying for this new position that was a step up from where I was. Well, now we have this new manager, and a lot of things are getting switched around. And I've been asking God and just needing his help financially. And this position has become very stressful. Call outs, working on call. It's just been crazy. So I've been asking, you know, for his help. Where to go from here, step up, you know, whatever. So I applied to this position twice, get turned down both times. But I could easily do the job. What does he do instead? Less work. Puts me into a position where I'm not bouncing back and forth between the hospital, the outpatient clinic, and the training center. I will just be localized in the hospital and make more money. How does that happen? The way that he works is so mind-boggling. And when he says that his ways are not our ways, hoo-wee, ain't that the truth? Stay blessed, y'all.
Hello, DABC family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for two specific incidences that have occurred back to back that are really traumatic. One, the young Ukrainian refugee that was stabbed to death on a subway train, and the other for the assassination of young Christian conservative Charlie Kirk. Dear Jesus, we lift up our nation to you. We lift up these families whom are hurting because of the tragic loss of this young girl, of Charlie Kirk. Lord God, bring comfort to them. Bring healing to their lives in the midst of the why questions. Help them grieve and mourn appropriately. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for us as Christians to rise up in a nation that seems to be putting God to the side. Let us be bold in proclaiming the good news of Jesus, because this is the only thing that will rescue the United States of America from its own peril. Father God, help us, O Lord, to be bold in our profession of faith, to be bold in our preaching, to not cower in the midst of persecution or even attack, but instead to be bold and press forward as we grieve. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Hello, DABC. This is God's hand is on me. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you who called in to leave a prayer for me, Kingdom Seeker Daniel, Chili, and there was another young lady, and I'm sorry I don't remember your name, but there's been so much going on within the last couple of weeks. I called in to say that my husband had been having an affair with his coworker, and also that he filed for divorce because he just flat out told me he didn't want me anymore. And I thank you, Kingdom Seeker Daniel, for allowing you to let God use you to tell me that God sees me and he loves me. This Sunday that just passed, on the 7th, my husband tried to take my life. And I realized that because of my disobedience and being unevenly yoked, that it could have cost me my life. I know that God has a great plan in store for me, but I am seeking your prayers like never before, that I may be healed, that I may not be bitter, and that I may be able to get the therapy that's so well needed. But in the midst of this, I thank God for making a way for me. I have been searching for a place of my own, and I found housing. Now I just need the resources in getting the help that I need to move into my new place. So please keep God's hand is on me in prayer each time you pray. I love you, DABC. Thank God, and God bless.